Hey, so after a week away for the holiday, hopefully everybody gained a little bit of weight over Thanksgiving. We are live back in the studio again. Big shout out to Shooting Performance Institute, Jim Irwin down there in Gardnerville. He's got some CCW courses coming up. I know he's got a couple handgun things planned before the end of the year. Go to shootingperformanceinstitute.com. Check him out. One of the top 10 trainers in the country, if not the world. Absolute hidden treasure down there in Gardnerville.
Now, does he do renewals?
Yeah, he does renewals.
Okay.
Now, no housekeeping stuff to get to. We are going to cover the, what is it, Policy 67, Dave?
Yeah.
I don't want to say the word, but the...
Well, so it came up because it's been a topic for some reason. It's just, it like popped itself up on social media and people were posting the policy and having pretty in-depth discussions on it. So it's the, I call it the feral horse and burro
thank you.
Policy.
Thank you.
So yeah, so it's just some
stuff. Get into that on a show coming up because there's probably a lot of ground to tread
there.
It's
a lot of meat.
Yeah.
It's a lot of meat.
All right, now, special guest, Aspen Morai, back in the studio. Aspen, let me rip through a bio real quick, or not a bio, but some of your greatest hits. You killed a heck of a mule deer 2023. Good-looking
yes,
deer.
Yeah. Really pretty deer.
And then you followed that up, if I remember correctly, was that 9 days later or 10 days later with a 360 class bull?
Yes.
With a bow?
Yes.
And that is why you are back. We have a buckle to present to you. It's kind of lost on a radio audience, right, Dave?
Yeah. So everyone close your eyes and imagine, just follow the storyline.
Yeah. It's in, no, you got you were awarded Nevada Bow Hunters Association Bow Hunter or Huntress of the Year for 2023 because of that mule deer and that elk hunt. So I guess we'll,
Yes.
All of us. So
it's right here. I'll let you hand that over. Yeah. So this is, these are custom made belt buckles. Each one is handmade. In Elko, and they do a fantastic job on these things every year. I know I've had it for a while. We're finally getting a hold of you and getting you into the studio, but congratulations. It is a heck of a feat to actually be the bow hunter of the year. There's a lot of folks that put in for those and for that buckle. You and your efforts definitely deserve that belt buckle this year, for sure.
Absolutely. And I made a poor joke earlier and I said bow huntress. There is no bow huntress or bow hunter, male or female. It's just the Nevada bow hunter of the year.
Correct. Yeah.
There's no differentiation between male and female. And I got to be honest with you, I don't think anybody else in that short of a timeline put together a run like that and put as good animals down.
No.
There were certainly some folks that killed some big animals, but generally it's like a month apart, couple months apart. What was that? That was a span of like 2 weeks, a week.
Yeah, it was quick.
Yeah. So congratulations, Aspen.
Thank you guys so much. The only other person I know that has one of these buckles is my dad. So it's pretty cool.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah. The year he killed his goat. Up in the rubies
with it. All right,
so yes, you can show that to your brothers and be like, guys are definitely behind me.
That's I didn't even know. So Charlie got one too.
Yeah,
what year was
long,
that
long long time ago?
Okay.
I actually don't know the year.
Before, very cool.
Before
I can look
kid.
It up, but I think his was late 80s.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, because the Nevada Bow Hunter Association didn't start until 1983, officially.
Okay. And he was one of the first to kill
a goat.
With his bow.
With a bow.
I believe, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's...
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, so you and your dad now, huh? Oh, your sage and hunter better pick it up a little bit, huh? Slackers.
Hey, we'll get into them. I got some questions about some of Hunter's endeavors, and I don't know how involved in that stuff you are, but... You also put together a heck of a run this year. I know you said mule deer unsuccessful.
Yes.
Okay, but antelope. You had a heck of a good hunt for an antelope, and you killed a heck of a nice animal.
Yes. It was fun. It was 3 days for this one.
Oh, my God. Perfect.
We were down in 144, and there were quite a few goats down there, but goats are hard with a bow. It's hard not sitting in a blind and getting a shot on one. So me and Sage kind of snuck in. They were in some flat land. Like, there's not much cover, just a little bit of brush. So we came in and just to see how close we could get, possibly. And we weren't going to get closer than 100 yards. So I had a goat at 99 yards, and I let an arrow fly and made a good shot on him.
Oh, that's perfect. Man. Yeah.
That is fantastic.
One and done?
One, oh, no. So oh. We actually have the shot on video.
Okay.
It would have almost been a perfect shot, but before my arrow got there, the antelope started ducking it. So I spined him, and so I had to go up and put another one in him.
But he dropped right there.
Yeah. Spinal, yeah.
At 99 yards. That is awesome.
Didn't Sage do something like that last year, too? Didn't he take, like, a 90-plus yard goat?
So he shot his goat at 111 yards.
Oh.
Hunter's a little butthurt.
You think? Yeah. Huh.
I have the second longest shot now.
Oh, okay. And so for clarification, people listening, I always call them speed goats or goats because a mountain goat's such a rare thing.
Yes.
So we're talking about antelope, not mountain goats.
Correct.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, I had to spot and stalk mine when I did my antelope archery. I sat in the blind one day. There's absolutely no way. I am just a jittery bug. I can't sit in that thing for 16 hours.
Yeah.
Well, it's like a sauna. Miserable.
Well, besides that, but I just can't sit that long unless I'm medicated.
Unit 14, 144. Give me some landmarks.
So Diamond Valley up by Eureka.
Gotcha. Okay, so the stalk was, how far was the stalk to get within 99 yards?
Not too far, a couple hundred yards. They were all kind of hanging out in a group, and we didn't have to be real sneaky stalking in on them because they weren't.
They weren't spooked at all?
Once we got into that. Well, we got into 100 yards and we were kind of waiting it out. But Sage is like, I'll just let you go ahead and try to get a shot in on them. But there was no way, just no cover. They already had eyes on us. So he's like, you want to try it?
Like, absolutely. Yeah.
Took a shot. So,
man, that's awesome. Good. Yeah, that is awesome. Good for you. Here's what I wanted to ask you about in that unit. Dave and I experienced this on his hunt for antelope this year, is the amount of water, they were just spread out and in non-traditional areas in the unit we were in.
Yeah.
Now, we found your buck in an area I kind of knew about, but for the most part, it was not like years past where they were concentrated on the few water sources.
There's water everywhere.
Yeah. They were everywhere in the same story up there.
It was actually hard to even find antelope in that area unless they were hanging out down in the fields. It was very,
very tough to find them.
Yeah. So they were hanging out near the ag fields?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, because where we were, it just seemed like there every impression or depression in the land had water in it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So and we were just finding onesies and twosies, and they were shotgunned across, you know, thousands of acres.
Yeah.
What area are you guys?
068, up there north of Battle Mountain. Yeah, Mary's Mountain, that area.
Yeah.
And I had hunted out there before, and it was funny. I had a buddy in the same unit who his wife had a tag, and we were texting back and forth, and they found, what do you say, like 100-some-odd in this one area that I was like, oh, well, we'll go check that out tomorrow and see if there's anything.
Right.
So we went over there not 24 hours later and saw like six.
Yeah.
Seven, maybe.
Yeah.
It was just a weird year for antelope.
Yeah. Still got it done, though, which was nice.
Yeah. Both of you guys.
I've sat with a friend of mine in that area for a goat, and we were right off the highway and killed one right on that water.
The Humboldt there, like right near, by the Carlin
right
exit?
Yes.
Yeah.
Really?
Right there.
Yeah.
Well, we did see one on the other side of the fence, kind of cruising along the river. That was a nice goat.
But we found a couple for sure. Yeah.
That was not our area.
Hey, when we come back on Nevada Backcountry, let's get into your deer hunt, unsuccessful or not. Every time you go hunting, you get a good story out of it. So don't go anywhere. Stay tuned to 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. Hey, thanks for hanging in there over the break. Big shout out to Battleborn Tree Service, Mike and the crew. We talk about them all the time on the show. Mike also killed that phenomenal 389 or whatever it was bull this year with his bow. Mike's a heck of a guy, heck of a company. If you have tree care needs, get in touch with Battleborn Tree Service. They will take care of your property like it is your own. Now, as I alluded to before we went to break there, every hunting trip, successful, unsuccessful, has some good stories associated with it. Guest in the studio today is Aspen Morai. And Aspen, before we went to break there, you were saying something about you had got a really good story from your deer hunt, even though you were unsuccessful.
Yes.
All right, lay it on me.
So I hunted almost the whole season. I was out there when I was taking breaks. I was coming in for a couple days at a time. I met a family out there. They're the Smith family out. This is in 17.
So Oh, okay. Yeah.
They live on that reservation out there, and they're a wonderful family. They've met like so many hunters, and they have six kids from 17 to 8, I think. So these kids kind of took me in, and they're homeschooled. So all they do is hunt all season long. Like, they love it. So they were out with us, and it was my dad. He had a tag too. And we were up glassing, and the young girl, she's like 12, I think, she's like, I got a mountain lion in my scope. And we're all like, well, yeah, whatever.
What time of day? Like midday?
Middle of the day.
All right.
Oh, wow.
And she was so excited. And so we all looked in the scope, and sure enough, she had, it was probably the best spot that I've seen. Like, this mountain lion was kind of hidden under a rock. And
12-year-old.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so it was super exciting. And I was like, let's go try to make a stalk on it. So me and my dad kind of side-hilled over, and we got within 100 yards of this mountain lion. And I had to kind of like dip down and go up into some rocky cliff area to get a shot, a chance. I didn't really know what I was doing. Never stalked a mountain lion. So I kind of came around this cliffy rock edge, and I knew once I dropped down that I wouldn't have eyes on this lion anymore. So I was getting a little nervous, because every time I looked at the lion, it was looking at me. So I knew it knew I was there.
Was it bedded?
Yeah.
Like a, okay. So it was
just bedded under like a big boulder.
Gotcha. Oh, gotcha. Okay.
And so there was a boulder kind of to the right where he was bedded, and then two big boulders above it. And I was planning to get to those boulders and get on top of them, see what I could
make happen. Yeah.
And so I had my dad kind of come around so he could keep eyes on the lion, because I didn't want to drop down into this little hole and have a mountain lion stalking me instead of me stalking it. So I got up to these rock boulders, and I got 15 yards from this mountain lion, and it just was kind of nestled in its bed. And I was hunting it like a deer. So I was like, I didn't have a great shot. I kind of had its head, which my brothers will tell you, why didn't you just take the shot?
Yeah, it's a mountain lion. You should have sent one.
15 yards, a headshot, no problem.
So I was kind of stuck, because there were two big boulders right beside each other. And to get a shot, I had to come up on top of those and like balance myself. And I was kind of tucked behind them on a smaller boulder. And the mountain lion knew I was there. Every time I kind of peeked around that rock, he just
wasn't spooked or anything. Just had you pegged the whole time.
Had me and my dad pegged.
Okay.
Like, he would just turn, look at my dad, look at me. And so he kind of started hunching down and getting ready to pounce. So I knew he was moving out of his bed, and I came up on the rocks and I had a shot. He came out perfectly. I drew back and I just switched to the Everest rest.
Oh, the ham ski?
Yeah, the ham ski.
So,
is that the Everest, Dave?
Yeah.
The two? Okay.
Yeah.
So I have the rubber piece that holds my arrow, and when I draw back, it pulls it up.
Right.
I just started shooting the bow, and I came up and drew, and my arrow fell out of my rest because it wasn't in that rubber
clattering.
Piece.
Oh, you didn't have it in the... bummer.
Yeah. So that was quite the experience. It was...
How cool, though. Get within 15 yards of...
Oh, it was without dogs, because I've killed two lions, but...
With hounds, yeah.
So this was
well, the spot and stalk a mountain lion. That's
way cool.
It was way awesome.
It was unbelievable.
How far away were you when you glassed, or when the 12-year-old glassed it up?
Oh, we were probably 500-600 yards away.
So close the distance to 15.
Yeah.
Arrow clatters or what, and it just took off.
Yeah,
it was gone.
It was out of there.
Oh man!
But it was. I can't complain because it was an unreal experience.
Yeah.
Nice. So it kind of made the rest of your deer hunt kind of blasé, huh? You're like, eh.
Yeah, I got opportunities for sure.
Were you looking for a specific size, like deer? You know, a lot of folks will find a certain deer that, like, that's my focus the whole season. If I don't get him, then that's that. Or, you know, I want a 160, 170, 180 class or nothing.
No, I didn't have my heart set on anything early on in the season. Me and my girlfriend that had a tag in that unit as well, we got in on some bucks, and she got a shot on a really nice 4-point. And that I kind of had my heart set on him just because we had gotten so close.
You're gonna
to
scoop
him.
That one from your friend?
Well, she didn't get to hunt the whole season.
Oh, okay.
So,
oh, so
I
you gave
a
her
chance,
a chance. You gave her the first shot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
And we went in together.
Gotcha.
So I was like, you can go.
You got first shot, but after that, it's fair game.
Yeah, that's okay. Kind of what I said, but she wasn't having it after she got the shot. But yeah, there were opportunities for sure. I just couldn't get it done. Which is a bummer because everybody gives credit to my brothers.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm like, ah, oh, I needed that, but it's okay.
Your brother did. Hunter got his done. Same unit?
No, he was over, like, by Austin. I don't know what that is.
So all
like 14, 16, 15, probably the diamonds.
15.
Probably 15, the diamonds, yeah.
Okay. And I don't want to pick it like family scabs because it's that time of year where family friction starts.
Oh, yeah. Do it.
But it's always been weird to me talking to all three of you separately. You guys maybe you do sometimes, but you guys don't always put in for the same units.
No.
You kind of all do your own thing, which is weird to me. Like my brother's just moving back to town from Idaho, and that's like a no brainer. We're always going to put in together. What I don't want any like Morai family secrets, but what you guys have just kind of found your own areas that you like to hunt or what?
Not necessarily. Just kind of what works best.
Okay.
Like
for everybody's lives and schedules and all that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Me and my dad hunt really well together. Hunter just hunts better when it's his tag. Like when he's not in a group tag with us.
Yeah.
Because when I killed my buck in 7, we had 5-6 of us camped together, hunting together.
And you and all that had was tags?
Like, yeah.
Oh.
Ooh.
And so Hunter was like, this is too many. I don't want to have to try to hunt for someone else when I'm trying to fill my own tag, which
right.
is completely understandable. Yeah. So just how it works out, I guess. We all
gotcha.
Do put in for, we put in for mostly the same areas.
But not as a party. So when
when
you draw a tag, they may be all separate tags.
Yeah. We had the same antelope this year, but he turned his in.
Oh.
After you shot yours, he was like, yeah, I can't compete right now. I'm going to turn this thing in.
And over the break, Aspen showed us the video. Great shot. Holy smokes. Great shot. Yeah, that was super cool.
Yeah.
Super, super cool.
So now, I mean, when you shot last year, you shot your bull and you shot your deer.
Mm-hmm.
You were using a different setup. So this year, you and your brothers have switched over to elite archery. Your brother, Hunter, is now carrying and selling all elite equipment. So tell us a little bit about your new elite. Do you like it? And which one is it?
Hey, I'm going to interrupt. No shocker to anybody that listens to the show, but we got to take a quick break. We will be right back with Aspen's answer to your 2024 Elite Bow setup, what you like about them. Don't go anywhere. Stay tuned to 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. You're listening to Nevada Backcountry on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk, proudly sponsored by Legacy Sports International, home of the Howa Superlight and the Escort series of shotguns, the over-unders. I got to tell you, I get texts about every weekend from Andy. He's having a hell of a bird year. If it's not like a back-to-back limit on quail and chucker, it's a limit on ducks, whatever. Andy's been out killing stuff with the 20-gauge. I think he hung the 410 up for a little bit. Anyway, my meandering spiel there, Legacy Sports International, home of the Howa Superlight, proud sponsor of Nevada Backcountry. Let's jump right back into it. We left on a cliffhanger. Aspen Morai, Nevada Bow Hunter Association Bow Hunter of the Year for 2023, is in studio today. And Dave, why don't you go ahead and reiterate the question again? Because I think we all got talking over the break and forgot it.
So in 23, you were shooting a different setup because your brother was sponsored or carried a different brand. But now Hunter and you guys are all shooting elite bows, and you guys are now carrying all the elite brands from Outdoor Group, which is Scott Releases, Elite, a whole bunch of other cool things. But
and that's Ace in the Hole Archery.
That's Ace in the Hole Archery out in Fallon. They're also online. You can get online and check their stuff out. But so tell us a little bit about your setup.
So I'm shooting the women's Elite. It's the Allure, I think.
Oh, okay, yeah.
My wife got one of those. Yeah.
Yeah, and it came in, I think, 2 weeks before season opened. So I had very little experience with this bow, but it is definitely shooting very well. Like, I am impressed with it. I shoot it extremely well.
The last time we had you on, you were shooting 60 pounds-ish, give or take. You still there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Still there? Dang. Yeah. Well, she has to. I mean, she just launched an arrow at 99 yards to kill an antelope.
Yeah.
So. What sight are you using?
I am using the
CBE?
Yes.
That's the other brand you forgot about.
Yeah, that's
Dave.
Right. Yeah.
CBE.
Outdoor Group carries. CBE. They own CBE now as well. So the slider, the CBE slider?
Yeah, and I've just transferred this slider too.
Yeah,
this
okay. Single pin or three?
Five.
Oh, the five pinner.
So you use your
fifth
as the floater?
So I don't use my slider very often.
Okay.
Like, I am so used
to it. Did you use it
for the
100-yard shot?
I sure did.
Well, I was going to say, dang, she's like eyeballing it. She's like, yeah, that's about right.
No, if I have to move it in that situation, I usually only move it for hunting purposes.
Yeah.
Because I've seen you shoot at tournaments, and you generally shoot the bow hunter freestyle stuff, right?
No. Oh, yes. Yes, I do. Yeah.
Wait, now you've got me confused.
Yeah.
Yes, you do.
I confused myself.
Yeah, bow hunting,
yes.
So you wouldn't be able to move the slider.
Yeah.
Straight freestyle. But
But hunting, you like the slider setup.
Just to have it in case I get in a situation where I got to make a 99-yard shot.
Okay. And then your rest is the Hamsky Evolve.
Correct.
Which Hunter, if you're listening.
Everest.
The Everest. Yeah. You need to fix that for your sister so her arrows don't fall off it and she doesn't have an opportunity at a mountain lion. Just saying.
That was my bad. I'll take the credit for that one because I knew better.
So you're shooting the Hamsky Everest rest.
Correct.
The
yes.
one that failed you on the mountain lion
yes.
stock. Okay. What arrows? You said Black Eagle?
Black Eagle X Impacts.
Super skinny ones.
Yes.
And you're shooting a four fletch.
Correct.
I like that because I always figured it was a Band-Aid on like a form issue, but anytime somebody's like, oh man, I can't get this fixed blade to whatever, I'm having issues, I'm like, put another fletch on there. And it might be a Band-Aid, but when we had Hunter and Sage on, and I said, okay, Hunter, give me your like professional opinion. Am I putting a Band-Aid? And he was like, no, I always encourage people to run a four fletch. And I was like, there you go. I feel valid. I feel seen, Hunter. Thank you.
I feel seen. Yeah. Well, with a four blade fixed broadhead, you know, or just a large three blade fixed broadhead, those four blades kind of help control it.
I like the four fletch, man.
Yeah.
I like it. What fletchings are you running?
Yeah, I have no.
You're like, I don't know. I hand my stuff to Hunter.
Yeah.
What?
I
okay.
think he's using the AAE hybrids.
Oh, I like those.
Yeah.
And this is the first year that I've switched to four blades.
Okay.
Four
blades. Are you, what broadhead?
So this year I was kind of all over the place. We just put on what we had. So I was shooting a three blade broadhead, but it was, I don't know what I was shooting.
Okay.
I had like four different
guys. Four different ones. Broadheads. Yeah. Cause I'm,
dude, that's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. They were shooting straight.
They, yeah, obviously. They shot really
Hunter
well,
gives up on me by the time season rolls around. He's like, just go hunt. And I hope,
something good happens. Yeah.
He's always like, I hope you don't kill something this year because you're getting too cocky. And
you still did.
It happens.
Turns out.
Yeah. Hey, I
and now
admire
you got the belt
that.
Buckle.
Yeah.
To, you know, you should wear that home and just go, like, start clicking it. Like, oh, I didn't even realize I had
I
that on.
This. Yeah. Hunter, could you pick this up for me?
I don't know if you guys see my Instagram posts, but I give them a lot of crap on Instagram. And
oh, I do. I enjoy
it.
I enjoy it. Actually, the smack talk between the Morai siblings on Instagram.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Hey, plug your Instagram real quick for people listening. If you want to see amazing pictures of a bunch of good dead animals on the ground, what's your Instagram, Aspen?
It is Morai_08.
So what happened to the other five siblings? How'd you wind up at eight?
I don't know. It was my sports numbers through
high school. Okay. I was like, I figured like Morai_1_2_3.
I was just
what sports
young
did
when
you play?
I made it. Soccer, basketball, and softball.
All right, so that was, you were number eight, high school you're originally from. We didn't start with a bio. I always make the assumption that people just know who you are. You're from Fallon, Nevada.
Yes.
Grew up there.
Yes.
Fallon, all through the grade school, high school, all that?
Yep.
You're now at UNR, or you just finished at UNR?
Just graduated back in spring from UNR.
Okay, spring of 24.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And here's what's interesting. Go ahead, plug your business, because when we got talking, when you got to the studios here, you graduate college and you go right into being an entrepreneur. What's the name of the business you own?
I own High Desert Small Animal Feeds.
High Desert Small Animal Feeds.
Yes.
So define small animals.
Rabbits.
Obviously not horses.
Guinea pigs. Anything. So the purpose of this business is to provide feed for these animals that are like living in cities. So they can't go get a bale of hay. They have to order boxes of hay. So people charge a ridiculous amount for a flake of hay to ship to customers that are in big cities like Los Angeles and stuff.
Oh, okay.
Oh, so it's not just a localized or
no, it's we're only shipping because anybody in Fallon is going
to
go get a
bale to
of
the
hay.
Feed store. Yeah.
And so this is for people that have small animals that don't have the access to.
Okay. Oh, that's
or
cool.
Or storing, yeah.
Where's the farthest away client you have currently?
Well, we do ship out of country. Prefer not to, but there has been a few packages go to like London. So
perfect.
We try to nick those. Like we don't want to ship out of the country.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, do you do all your own shipping? Like label everything and ship it all out? And
yeah, so I have an employee that does most of the manual labor.
Nice.
You get done with college.
Nice.
You've
got
a business and an employee.
Yeah.
I'm assuming a friend.
No.
It's a straight up, like you found an employee.
So I bought this when I got done with school. I didn't start it up. And he was already running it pretty much. And so I decided to keep him on.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Fallon guy.
Yeah. So this was a established business before I bought it.
Right. Have you grown it since taking it over?
In the process. I'm trying to get there, but it's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot of learning. I'm just learning the ropes right now, trying to get a grip on things.
All holy smoke. I mean, we have deviated way far off the reservation when it comes to like hunting and bows and stuff, but that's intriguing because can I ask how old you are?
I am 23.
Yeah, no clue. At 23, I was barely figuring my life out. let alone buying a business. Good grief.
Yeah.
I mean, I always sold myself short. At 23, I was a guy.
Well, you're only 5 foot seven.
No, six.
Oh, yeah, yeah. 5'6". Okay.
It's the extra, I wear lifts.
Oh, you
like
wear
Tom
the lifts.
Cruise.
Oh, gotcha. All right. I always wondered why it varied.
Yeah, it depends on which lifts I have in.
Yeah.
At 23, I always sold myself short. So I was a squad leader. I was an infantry NCO. So I had some things wired very tightly in my life, but I was definitely not thinking like, I'm going to buy a business. I'm going to have an employee or anything like that. Like most 23-year-olds, I think.
Yeah, I was just figuring out how to stay in college.
Dr. Dave over here.
Stick in college. He's like, okay, this one's ending. I don't want to work.
Yeah, I would have stayed in college too.
All right. I promise if you are listening right now, we will get back on track. I want to talk a little more about the Elite bows.
Yeah, because they just came out with a new Target bow. Not the Verdict. They just came out with a new Target.
It's a 35-inch deal, right?
Yeah, it's a 35-inch axle-to-axle. They got away from the 37, 38-inch.
What is it? Do you know?
Exalt.
Exactly. Yeah, we'll talk about
Hunter
that.
He just had some show up.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
He did?
Yeah. He did, yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Let's get into that when we come back. I also want to talk about hunts you are planning on putting in for this upcoming year. We don't have to talk units, but bucket list stuff, whatever, long shot stuff. When we come back on Nevada Backcountry, only on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. Oh man, we are back for the final segment on Nevada Backcountry. And here's the problem is we get in studio with friends. We get going in a million different directions. Everybody's listened to the show long enough and knows Dave and I cannot stay on track to save our souls. Aspen, you haven't been a big help in that arena. You've
no, you really haven't. We're hoping that you were going to keep us on track, but
thanks a lot.
Completely ruined that one.
So, special guest in studio today is Aspen Morai of the famed Morai clan of Fallon. If it can be killed with a bow, somebody in their family has done it. And we learned an interesting factoid. If anybody missed the first segment of the show, Aspen is actually the second member of her family now to win the Bow Hunter of the Year award from Nevada Bow Hunters Association. I didn't even realize your dad, Charlie, was awarded it back in the day.
Yes.
So here we are. It's come full circle. And you were the youngest.
Yes.
Closed loop. Done.
That's right.
No more buckles for the Morai clan.
No, poor Hunter and Sage get to bounce around inside that right there, that closed circle.
Yes.
I'll just rub it in their faces.
That's right. I'm telling you, you ought to put it on a chain around your neck, walk into dinner and be like, oh, I didn't even know I was wearing this.
Yeah, oh, geez, guys, yeah. Like my new jewelry.
Geez, look at this.
So we got talking about elite bows a little bit, and I won't pin you down on model names, model numbers, all that stuff, but your brother, Hunter, is an elite dealer out there in Fallon now, acing the whole archery. So all of you are shooting elite bows.
Yes.
Okay. Are you going to stick? Do you put in at all for rifle tags?
No.
Not at all?
Some sheep units, I will.
Oh, okay.
Depending on the unit. I am dedicated to drawing an archery sheep tag because Sage did it with a bow and I look up to him.
Yep.
So I'd love to harvest a bighorn with my bow. That's next on the list for sure.
When it's Danger tough. Dave told me he was going to do that, I was like, oh, buddy, pulled it off.
Yeah.
Pulled it off.
I can say the year that the whole family drew their sheep tags,
22.
Or one.
Yeah.
But anyways.
It was he drew the first year of the sheep tags for archery, which
was.
Yeah, you're right. 21, because I drew mine in 22.
Okay.
And so we had four sheep tags that were harvested that year. And Sage's was the smallest ram, but it was the best hunt. Like,
what's with the bow?
Everybody got emotional. Like, it was just such a different atmosphere being with him while he harvested a sheep with his bow. It was incredible.
What were the four that year? Dalton had the Rocky.
Yeah, Dalton, Sage, Hunter, and my dad all drew.
So Hunter did, now Sage got his done with a bow. Hunter did put an arrow in his, right? Something like that?
Correct. So we spotted hunters. We had a lot of guys there to help. hunter got in on his, got in shooting range, put an arrow in it. Nobody was really sure on where the arrow hit. We didn't even know if the arrow was a miss or not a miss.
Right.
The rams kind of stayed in the same spot, didn't spook them much. So Sage and Hunter had a conversation, and they ended up deciding to kill it with a rifle just because it was getting dark and we...
He didn't
want to leave that ram out there if...
If he did hit it. Yeah, understandable.
Yeah.
So when he finally did, and it was an any legal weapon tag, so he could hunt with whatever he wanted.
Correct.
When he finally did, he put a bullet in it, when they got to it, had he made a fatal hit with the bow?
No.
Oh, so it was a great call in retrospect.
Yes,
yeah.
It was, if I remember correctly, it was kind of in the no man's land, right?
Oh,
below
in between
the spine.
As you say, yep. Yeah, in
Backstrap.
Between the ribs and the...
But don't...
Yeah,
quote
you on that.
Yeah.
Okay, so don't hold her to that one.
Yeah.
Hunter, you might have to come back on the show and clarify the record there. This year coming up, you're sticking with archery stuff.
Yeah.
All archery tags across the board. As you were rubbing it in both Dave and I, in our faces there a second ago, you're only eligible to put in for what again?
Deer, sheep, goat.
Moose. But you don't have to, because that's going to be my tag anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, Dave's... God, I can't wait to see you draw that, Dave.
Well, if somebody wants to sponsor me, I'll just go kill one somewhere else.
Yeah.
Who are you sponsoring? Now, Ace and the Hole Archery, Unbranded Outfitters. You got the family.
Yeah.
The circle going.
Well, if I end up with my bull tag, which I'm hoping I do, I've got lots of points, and my son's even got more than I do, I may have to talk to Sage about a bull hunt.
Yeah. How many? Your kid's at a pile of points now, Dave.
Yeah, he's in the double digits on points. No,
in archery, or is he thinking muzzleloader?
Both. Both. He's going to put in for both.
Okay.
Because he wants his bull tag this year. He's done with all of his schooling and his... everything else and weddings and stuff. So he's ready to go after a bull, and he said either archery or muzzleloader.
Yeah, we'll have to call Sage up if he draws out
there. Heck yeah.
Now you, bucket list stuff. Not, I shouldn't just point, now you. Talking to Aspen Moore, I'm pointing and saying, hey you. Aspen, bucket list stuff. You were saying moose is on the list.
Yes, moose with my bow.
Moose with a bow.
Yeah.
And Yukon, Alaska moose.
Yes, I would like to, but that's
spendy.
Out there. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
would you do, I mean, holy smokes, with Sage, Hunter, if you guys could all line up your schedules, you could do DIY moose.
Yeah, definitely.
Is that something that you think they'd go along with?
We've talked about it. I've thrown it around this year just because I've been looking into some resorts, but Canada moose.
Yeah.
And Hunter's like, we all got to go together. I'm like, I'm not waiting on you guys. I got to go now.
That's
depend.
Awesome.
Dad and Hunter just got back from Kansas. They went and did a
whitetail
hunt.
Okay.
Yeah, neither successful, which was a bummer, but they got to experience how it is hunting up there.
All right.
Were they tree stand hunting, or were they doing the spot and stalk stuff?
No, they were tree stand.
They were tree stand. Okay.
Yeah.
I know some guys that'll do that in states like Kansas, where there are some opportunities to spot and stalk whitetail, but man, that seems like a low probability, miserable way of going about things.
Yeah.
Well, and this year, from what talking with friends that live in that area, that are big time whitetailers, they said this year's really odd because it's been so warm, and you know, with the rut and everything happening, they said it's just finding good bucks the last couple weeks has just been miserable. It's been really, really tough.
So the resort or guide service they used, if you hit one, you're done, even if you can't find the animal.
No blood, no, it doesn't matter if you...
Yeah, so my dad got an opportunity on one and no luck finding it.
Oh.
And then Hunter just never got
the opportunity.
Got an opportunity on some does. He had a few bucks come in, but he's like me, and when they tell you, oh, there's a big one that's been coming in there, you hold out. He held out.
See, I don't have that. I don't have that ability to hold out.
Oh, I'm bad. My dad gets so mad at me.
I said, just kill something.
When I first started hunting, I think I had my first antelope tag, and it was archery, and I sat in the blind like 14 days.
And we had to switch people.
My dad's like, I'm not sitting in this blind with you anymore. I'm like, there's a bigger one coming in. I had decent goats coming in, and he's like pulling his hair out. I think I had 5-6 different people that would like rotate sitting with me. And then we had a buddy in Lovelock. That's where my tag was. And he was like, people that they were guiding just left and they accidentally shot the wrong goat. They had a really good goat coming into this blind. He's like, you can go sit in there. And so I went and sat in this blind and I passed up like 75-inch goats by this point. And I had this goat come in and I got a shot on him. And we have pictures of him after I shot him, and the blood looks like a perfect shot. And he never died. He ended up getting killed a couple years after that hunt.
Really?
By a girl, yeah. I'm like,
scar tissue and everything. And you knew it was the same buck. Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, the shot. We have the pictures.
That's
like,
wild.
How? But.
Wild animals.
I did get the shot. I'm like, Dad, I did get the shot at the bigger one.
Yeah.
So I waited for a reason.
Oh, man. Big shout out to Truck Envy on South Virginia in Reno. Andy and the crew will get you guys set up. It is still warm out there. People are still getting out there, getting after it, off-roading. Make sure you go get your rig set up at Truck Envy on South Virginia in Reno. Aspen, I cannot thank you enough for taking the time to do this, especially for someone as busy as you are with a new business, an employee, a new buckle to show off to your family.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, thank you.